Right. Need your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 12. It's good to have Kevin with us. We met Kevin in Roma a couple of years ago. We're out there with Word for the West, and he's just recently moved to the Sunshine Coast, so looking for work up this way. So good to have Kevin with us tonight. Good to see you again, mate. It's good to have Reuben as well. Good morning, buddy. Good to see you tonight. Reuben's living underneath Johnny Cav downstairs. So good to have Reuben as well. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Good to have those that are online, church family that couldn't be here and online there. I heard this week, and I don't know if she's on there or not, but if she is, hello, Abby. She watches Abby Bunch. I was in the Albany Creek Library the other day and studying away yesterday, just minding my own business in a booth, and Caleb Bunch walked in. And so I was talking to Caleb for a bit, took a photo and sent it to his dad and said, look at the riffraff that comes into Albany Creek. And sent it to his dad and he said, oh, they're everywhere, you can't get away from them. I said, yeah, there's bunches of them. That's a pretty good one, wasn't it? I thought that's pretty good. That's pretty good. They've probably never heard that, have they? Don't you reckon? No, I reckon they have. So, Abby, if you're there, hello, Abby. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see. We'll start in we'll go to verse 5. We're mainly going to be in verse 6 tonight, but we'll just go back to verse 5. We covered verse 5 last week, Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 5, we'll read 5 and 6, but we'll focus in mainly on verse 6 tonight. So let's read it together. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Let's just ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we are grateful, Lord, that we can come together on a Wednesday evening and just gather around your word and gather together and sing hymns and spend some time in prayer in a few minutes. And Father, we're just grateful for your mercy, your grace, thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus. Thank you for your many blessings that you shower upon us each day. Lord, may we never take it for granted, your grace and your mercy, your long-suffering, and just your kindness and tenderness towards us. My Lord, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we certainly need thy help, Father, as we look into it. Pray the Holy Ghost of God would lead us into and guide us into all truth and teach us that which we need to see. I pray the Holy Spirit would have liberty to make application in each and every individual's life. And Father, we just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so as we said last week, and we said last week that Paul is exhorting these Hebrew believers to go on to Christian maturity for God and not to apostatize or turn away from God. And that's pretty well the emphasis of the whole book. He's telling them to press on and go forward, don't quit. The rest is not now, the rest is coming. But if you quit, there is no rest, just keep going, press on. And we noticed chapter 11, just the example of faith, and that the Christian life is all a life of faith. And if we're going to be successful and we're going to finish and we don't turn away, it's only going to be by faith in the promises of God and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, there's a number of different examples there. And then we saw at the beginning of chapter 12, there were certain things we have to lay aside. There was the weights. And then there was also the sin which does so easily beset us. And then there was the emphasis there in verse 1 that there's a race to run. And if we're going to run that race well, we're going to have to set those things aside. And if we're going to run that race well, in verse 2, we need to be looking unto Jesus and following his example. We need to be considering him. In verse 3, we need to consider Jesus. And the contradiction of sinners against himself, well, he endured. And if he can endure that, I can endure the little bit of contradiction I get. If we concentrate on all that Jesus went through rather than concentrating on me, if I get focused on me, I get despondent and discouraged. But if I focus on Jesus, consider Jesus, that's going to give me some pep in my step to keep running the race. It's like a Barocca, right? So we all need a spiritual Barocca. If we don't have it, we're going to lag. We're going to fall behind. And then we noticed verse 5 last week, he said, "You've forgotten." And he was seeking to remind them of some things. He was rebuking them for forgetting the promises of God and forgetting the fact that God chastens his own children. Notice what, let's just focus on verse 5 just for a couple of seconds here. Read it with me again. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." He said, "You've forgotten some things, Hebrews. You've forgotten some things." And then he pointed them back to that proverb in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And it's basically a quote. It's not a direct quote, but it's certainly very close. It's a reference to that passage here in these couple of verses. He says, "You've forgotten the exhortation that Solomon gave us back there in Proverbs." He said, "You've forgotten the fact that when God has his own children, that he chastens his children." And you know, it's very easy for us when we get in a difficult situation. The Hebrews were in a difficult situation. First of all, he exhorted them, just keep running, just keep going. Yes, it's hard, it's difficult, there's persecution. Some of you are losing property, some of you are losing family, losing your livelihood, perhaps losing lives. He said, but just keep going. But then he said the other aspect that you've obviously forgotten is God chastens his children. And you're going through some refining. And it's really important that we remember that as God's children, that he does chasten his children. He doesn't just leave his children alone. And the exhortation there, were first of all in verse 5, was, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." When God is chastening you, don't despise it. Don't think little of it. Make it big, magnify it in your life. Make the most of what God's putting you through. We don't do that naturally as human beings. When we find ourselves under pressure in the fire and God's putting us through a difficult situation, we don't say generally, I don't, maybe you're more spiritual than me, but I don't say, fantastic, here comes some refining. I come out of this, I'm going to be more like Jesus. We generally don't do that. Generally, we either get grumpy and we despise what God's allowing us to go through, or the next thing is we faint and we get despondent. He said here the first exhortation was, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. And that faint is to lose strength and to swoon. And some of us despise what God has put us through and what God's allowing us to go through. Others of us faint when we go through things. And God chastens us in many different ways. And usually he will allow different circumstances to come into our life and allow us to go through different things. Perhaps it's a financial thing. Perhaps it's a health issue. Perhaps it's a family situation. Perhaps it's a work situation. Perhaps it's a church situation. Who knows? God can put you in certain circumstances, and the reason he allows you as his child to be in that circumstance, he's got some chastening for you. Now let's notice verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." I want to just first of all, I want you to notice that phrase, "he chasteneth." And I want to remind you what chastening means. The word chasten means to train as a child. It means to educate. It means to instruct. And it means to discipline. And when we have a child, we seek to educate that child. We don't just leave it to its own devices. But we educate it, we train it, we instruct it, and we discipline it. Now, I said this at the end of last week, but I'm going to repeat it now, and then I'm going to repeat it again at the end of tonight. Chastening, biblical chastening, God's chastening of his children is not necessarily punishment for sin. Sometimes it is, but it's not always. It's not necessarily punishment for sin. It is rather instruction by discipline. Chastening is the divine method of our education. God has saved you. You're one of his children. So he wants to educate you as one of his children. So therefore he puts you in difficult circumstances, difficult situations to educate you and to educate me. And there's a real danger. There's two sides. There's two extremes that we go to as Christians. Number one, we go to the extreme of our Pentecostal brethren. They're over here in this extreme and they say, you know, oh, you get saved, you become a child of God, God's just going to bless you and it's health, wealth and prosperity and it's going to be the best life ever. That's not so. That's not true. Just read your Bible. Look at Paul. Look at Stephen. I mean, there's so many examples. But then there's the other extreme, and that we get to thinking that if God chastens me, God allows things in my life, and I'm going through difficulties, it's because of sin in my life, and he's rebuking me, and he's whipping me, and he's just cruel. And there's a little tendency in all of us as human beings, in our sin nature, to think that sometimes. When things don't make sense, and God puts you through something, sometimes there's a little root there, there's a little voice. This is unfair. And the reason that is twofold. Number one, we love ourselves too much and we think too highly of ourselves that we don't deserve such a thing. Surely we do. We deserve a whole lot more. We deserve hell. Right? But then we lose sight of what God's trying to do in us because we get tunnel vision and we just see the circumstances. We don't see the big picture of what God's trying to work in our hearts. And we need to be really careful that we remember that the chastening of God upon his children is the divine method of our education. He's trying to make you less like you and more like Jesus. So he takes you through circumstances. He brings people into your life that just irritate the stew out of you. Maybe it's a work colleague, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a church member, maybe it's a school friend. And you know, the reason is God's providentially brought that person in because he's revealing to you as his child that you're lacking some patience. You're lacking some love. You're lacking some grace. All these different things. Now, what we get focused on is the other individual. Well, if they'd stop doing that, I'd stop getting irritated. Right? That's what we do, isn't it? That's how we go. But what we need to understand is, God, Lord, help us get to a place where we can say, thank you, Lord. That's tough. That's hard. That takes grace. That takes some maturity to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for that irritating person. Because it's brought some dross to the surface and showed that I'm not as good as I think I am. And so do you see how God's trying to educate you? And he's trying to educate me? So let's remember, as we start out on this verse, let's remember what chastening is. Sometimes it is because of our sin. You've disobeyed, and so he's going to chasten you, just as we do children. But sometimes biblical chastening is he's just trying to mature you. He's just trying to get you to grow up and stop being a baby. And you have to go through some things to be able to do that. So let's notice the first portion of verse 6, whom the Lord loveth. Let me make this statement about that. God doesn't chasten everyone because he doesn't love everyone with the same love. Let me say it again, and I'll clarify. God doesn't chasten everyone because he doesn't love everyone with the same love. Now, some of you are looking puzzled. When I made that statement to myself as I was studying that out, the verse that came to my mind was straight away was John 3:16. But God so loved the world. Sure he does. In a general sense, God loves the world. But God loves his children with a greater love than he loves the world. And you just think about that for a minute. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Wow. God loves the lost world so much he sent Jesus to die for their sin. But as his child, he loves you even more than that. That's incredible. You know, as an adult, there's no children that I hate. I don't have hatred in my heart towards any child. I love all children. Best I know. Some are pretty irritating. And some really, you know. But there's only two children in the whole world that I love as my own. And that's the illustration here with God. God does love everybody. But as his child, he loves you especially. And because he loves you so much, he chastens you. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 4. Says, thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. This is God speaking about the nation Israel. God chastened Israel like a man chastens his son. But God didn't chasten any other nation like he chastened Israel. And the reason he chastened Israel so faithfully and so consistently is because he had such a great love for Israel. Okay, we're not Israel, we're the church, we're in the New Testament. God chastens his children. God chastens you as his child because he loves you with a greater love than he loves the world in general. He loves you with a peculiar love. Let me give you a verse. Just flick over to 1 John. You're real close there if you're in the book of Hebrews. Just to flick across to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now we acknowledge John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and that God does love the world. And I'm not denying that. But notice what 1 John 3 and verse 1 says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, not the world, us, that we should be called the sons of God. So God has bestowed a peculiar love on his children. It's a peculiar love that's different to the love that he has for the whole of creation, the whole of the world. 1 John 3:1. Behold means stop and think about it. Consider it. Behold, look at it. Examine it closely. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that you and me, that we should be called the sons of God. Incredible that God would own you as his own, and he would bestow that kind of a love upon you. This love and this chastening speaks of a parental care. God is neither an absent nor negligent father. He's present and involved, And it would be real good if a lot of fathers would be too. A faithful father will correct, train, teach, rebuke, and scourge the children that he loves. Psalm 119, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. The psalmist knew that the affliction he was getting from God was, it was faithful affliction. It wasn't unnecessary, it was needed in his life. It was because of a faithful, loving, heavenly Father allowed him to go through what he went through because he needed to be educated in some areas. Lord, help us remember this as we go through those seasons. Because he loves you, and because he loves me, he doesn't leave us alone to stray away. Could you just imagine, how long have you been saved, Brother Raph?
36 years.
Where would you be, and what spiritual condition would you be in if God never chastened you? Been saved about 21 years. Where would I be? I'd still be saved. But in what condition would I be in if God never chastened me when I strayed? The reason you're in as good a condition as you are tonight, and the reason you're here in church tonight, and the reason you still love Jesus tonight, and the reason you still want to please Jesus tonight, is because when you've stepped out of line, God's chastened you. And he said, hang on now, I love you, don't go too far, you're stepping out of the way, and he'll chasten you, and he'll educate you, and he'll grow you, and he'll mature you, because he loves you. He loves you too much to leave you alone. And we need, brethren, perhaps some of you are going through difficult stuff tonight. Perhaps you're right in the middle of the test. Perhaps you're right in the middle of being afflicted. Remember, he's allowing it because he loves you. Don't despise it. Don't faint under it. But endure, get under the load. Stay under the load. And endure the load. Endure the pressure. If you don't stay, that's what that word endure means. It means to stay under the load. It means to persevere under pressure. If you don't persevere, if you don't just stick with it, if you try and run, if you despise or faint, you're not going to get what God's trying to do in your life. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What I want you to notice there is, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The reason God chastens you, he rebukes you, perhaps even gets the whip out and scourges you, is because he loves you. And the reason when the girls were younger, I would educate them to begin with, we'd instruct them. The reason we took so exhausting. Ian and Jazz, it gets better, okay? It gets better. It really does. It gets better. That age, you little ferals. You hide behind Dad, that's fine. You're exhausting. Yeah. They're exhausting. And it's just time and time. You sit down, you explain, you instruct, you give some instruction, and it's just exhausting, and it's just repetitive, and it's infuriating, and it's frustrating, and you think they're never going to get it, but all of a sudden they get it. And it's like, they do have a brain. They are listening. That's exactly the same. The reason we took that time and the reason we do that as parents is because we love those little human beings. And we want to educate them a little bit. The reason as they got older and they were, you know, defiant or something like that and they'd need a beating, they'd get one. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about child training. You take that rod and you smack that little rear end because it needs it. Now, in today, in society, you know, it's considered abuse. I say to you, it's abuse not to. They need it. God said they need it. But you need it. As a Christian, you need it, and that's why God does it to you. Right? And the reason he does it to you is because he loves you. He doesn't just leave you alone. Now, that's the easy thing to do. Let's notice the next portion of the verse. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So we've seen chastening up there in verse 5. We've seen rebuke up there in verse 5. And now here, it goes the next step to scourgeth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That word scourge literally means to flog. It means to whip. It means to lash. And it means to punish. Let me just say this, parents, that is not a smack. That's not going to get the job done. That's what you do when you don't want them to touch the PowerPoint. Don't. That's instructing. Sometimes they need to feel it. Sometimes they need to take a breath away. You remember that? I remember that. Huh? I still remember them. It didn't feel good for about... It didn't feel good at all for about a minute. Didn't feel real good for about 15 minutes. But after 30 minutes, it was gone. Over. Finished. Short-term pain for long-term gain. And we got a generation of parents that couldn't be bothered with the short-term pain for the long-term gain. But your Heavenly Father's not like that. He loves you too much. When you need to whip, he'll take it out. When you need a beating, he'll give you a beating. When you need the rod, he'll pull the rod out and he'll put some stripes on you. Maybe it's because you didn't listen to the chastening. And then you didn't listen to the rebuke. And so, well, if you're not going to listen to the chastening and you're not going to listen to the rebuke, here's the rod. You know, Mum would tell me until she went blue in the face, it didn't matter. She'd rebuke me, it didn't matter. She'd even get the whip out, it didn't matter. She'd get the rod out, so I couldn't tell you how many coat hangers and wooden spoons my poor mother broke on me. But when Dad got home, it mattered. And he brought the point home very clearly. Again, I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about anything barbaric. I'm talking about education. Instruction. Your Heavenly Father does that for you because he loves you. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Boy, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Let me read it again. This is in your Bible. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. You spare, you hate. Well, I just love them too much to smack them. No, you don't. The Bible says you hate them. That's why you don't smack them. And he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. So he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means early, before it's too late. There comes a time it's too late. And you better not wait till it's too late. God doesn't wait till it's too late. He gets it on you when you need it. Thank God for it. And he does it because he loves us. Let me make this statement in regards to parenting. It is parenting. It's out of self-love that we don't physically discipline children. Self-love. It's self-love. Parents don't do it because it's too hard. Parents don't do it not only because it's too hard, but it makes them feel bad. And they are failing to suffer short-term pain for the long-term gain of that child. They're thinking about themselves rather than thinking about the spiritual well-being of that little person. If you don't discipline them and you don't raise them right, going to be a fair chance God's going to have a hard time getting their attention when they get older. Because you understand, as a father and as a parent, you represent God in the home. So how you parent is a reflection on who God is. God's too far away for them to see, but they see you. And the way you raise them, the way you instruct them, the way you discipline them, you're demonstrating who God is to them. I'm thankful that my Heavenly Father is not that kind of father. He loves us enough to be intimately involved in our lives and the details of them. And he will discipline and punish when you need it because he loves you. Thank God for it. Notice it says, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Whom he receiveth. That word receiveth means accepted, admitted, embraced, and delighted in. Oh, I'm thankful that God chastens me and he scourges me because he loves me, and one day he's going to receive me and embrace me and delight in me as one of his children. There's coming a day when the trumpet's going to sound and I'm going to glory, and he's going to receive me as his own. I'm sure glad God's received me and made me accepted in his family already. Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. But as I said, there's coming a day when God will receive me to glory. And there's a promise in John chapter 14 and verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's going to receive me one day. But you know what? Because he saved me, because I'm one of his children, because he loves me so much, he's got some educating to do on me first. Before he receives me, he wants me to be more like Jesus. And before he receives you, he wants you to be less like you and more like Jesus. So you need to go through some education. You need to go through some chastening. You need to go through some rebuking. And you need to go through some scourging. So when you get to glory, you know, God could have saved you and taken you straight to heaven, couldn't he? Have you ever wondered why he doesn't do that? I've wondered that. I've wondered, well, he could have just saved me and then I could have just gone to heaven. He'd just take me. But you know, we're here on this globe as his children, and while we're here, he's maturing us, growing us, preparing us for our new home. And he's not wanting to receive a whole bunch of babies. He's wanting to be able to say to you when you get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the only way that's going to happen is if you go through some education at the hand of your Heavenly Father. But you know, it's all going to depend on how you choose to go through that education and how I, what's your mindset? What's your attitude? Don't despise, don't get hard, don't faint, but endure. Romans 8:26, go there. Romans 8 and verse 26. You need to remember this. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? The things that you go through, the afflictions, the trials, the hard times. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We need to remember that. As we go through life, God brings these different situations into our life. We need to remember God's using them to educate us, and he's using them for our good. It'll be good. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for me. A couple of statements and then I'll close. When it comes to these couple of verses, we see progressive levels. We see chastening, rebuke, and scourging. And perhaps these are dependent upon your response. If you don't respond to the chastening, he'll rebuke you. If you don't respond to the rebuke, he'll scourge you when he's dealing with sin. Right? But when he's not dealing with sin and he's trying to educate you and mature you, he starts off chastening. When you're a little child, it's just instruction. It's education. And then as you get a little older, it's rebuke. You know better. You're not. And then as you get a little bit more mature, it's the scourging. I want to say this. Grade one is easier than grade 12. As you start off as a newborn Christian, the trials and affliction God takes you through are not going to be to the same degree as someone that's been saved for 36 years, 40 years, 50 years. You may go through some scourging as a mature Christian. You may just go through some chastening as a baby Christian. Do you see that? Do you see the difference? God has various ways of chastening, rebuking, and scourging his children. Sometimes by the Holy Spirit, he would just be convicted. Sometimes by his word, sometimes by preachers, sometimes by circumstances. In all, their design is to bring awareness of the fault, conviction of the guilt, a willingness to repent, and an enabling to change. I gave you these two verses last week, but let me give them to you again. Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. My father-in-law was, Brother A.J. McClure, was sick for the last 16, 18 years of his life. Very sick. constantly sick, day in, day out, and I remember he mentioned once in a message, and I've been trying to find it, but I can't find it yet. I keep looking through messages. He said he had to learn to kiss the hand that held the rod. So often we get mad at the hand that holds the rod. But he said when he got to the place where he's able to kiss the hand that held the rod, he was able to go through what he went through with a certain amount of peace and joy in his soul. As long as we got the wrong attitude about God, we're not going to go well in difficult situations. But if we can get a right idea of who God is and what he's trying to do in my life, perhaps we can get to a place where we can just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for the chastening. Thank you for the rebuke. Thank you for the scourging. Boy, it's a hard place to get, isn't it? Lord, help us all get there. I believe that's what Paul here is with the Hebrews. He's reminding them. He said, look, you're going through a tough time, going through a lot of difficulties. You've got a race to run. But he said, don't forget, God's put you through what he's putting you through because he loves you. And he's trying to make you more like Jesus. And if he didn't love you, he wouldn't chasten you, he wouldn't rebuke you, and he wouldn't scourge you. So whatever it is, Christian, that you're going through, just remember, he's allowing you to go through it because he loves you. And it'll be good for you. It will be good for you. Maybe not right now, but in eternity, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it. Every little bit of suffering we go through down here, it'll be worth every ounce when we get to glory. But we're going to have to live by faith if we're going to believe that and live like we believe it. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that you love me. I'm thankful, Lord, that you don't leave me alone. I'm thankful, Father, that you discipline me, that you rebuke me when I need it. And Father, Lord, would you be pleased to do a work in my heart and help me? Lord, help us all to have a right view of thee and what you allow us to go through as your children. God, may we all be pliable clay on the potter's wheel, and may we be able to say, thy will be done, and leave it there. God, grant us the grace not to resist your moulding hands upon our lives, but help us to be surrendered, help us to be submitted, sincere and soft. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.